Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and Dei Masechus Yuma Daf Mem Gimel, the fourth parak, Tarpa Kalpi. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, Ul continues expounding the psukim about the paraduma. The pasuk states, "Va'asav ish tahor es eifar para v'hiniach," and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish lahakshir hazar. The specification man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Rashi explains that had the Torah simply written, "He shall gather the ash," it would have referred to the kohen as the subject of the earlier psukim. Therefore, the Torah states ish, a man, to indicate that even a zar can do it. Tahor lahakshir is the isha. The specification tahor comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there was no need to teach that a tameh may not gather the ashes, since this is known from the fact that the Torah calls the paraduma achatas. V'hiniach mishesh bo das lahaniach yatzu chershot v'katan she'ein behen das lahaniach. And since the pasuk states, "and he shall place," excluded are a cherish, a deaf mute, a shota, and a katan who do not have the mental competence to place it in the proper place. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, "Bala itza parshniya." The Kohen Gadol then comes to his bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, "Maishna bevidui rishon de la amr ubnei aron am kadeshecha." Why is it different than the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say ubnei aron am kadeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings up Bryce that was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael to answer the question. Midas din no senes. Logic dictates mutav yavu zaka v'yechaper al chayv, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapar for a guilty one, v'yavu chayv v'yechaper al chayv, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, "B'chol yom kohanim olim b'mizrachu shel kevesh b'yordim b'maravo." Every day kohanim ascend the mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on its western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and it would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, "V'hayom kohen gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa." But today, the kohen gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the kohen gadol ascends the mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates Hashem's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Ul continues expounding the psukim about the parduma. The pasuk states, "Va'asav ish tahor es eifar par v'hiniach," and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish lahakshir es hazar. The specification man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Rashi explains that had the Torah simply written, "He shall gather the ash," it would have referred to the kohen, who's the subject of the earlier psukim. Therefore, the Torah states ish, a man, to indicate that even a zar can do it. Tahor lahakshir es isha. The specification tahor comes to qualify a woman for her. Rashi explains that there was no need to teach that a tameh may not gather the ashes, since this is known from the fact that the Torah calls the paraduma chatas. V'hiniach mishesh bo das laniach yatzu chereshot v'katan she'ein behen das laniach. And since the pasuk states, "and he shall place," excluded are deaf, mute, a shota, and a katan who don't have the mental competence to place it in the proper place. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, "Bala itzel parashniya." The Kohen Gadol then comes to his bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, "Maishna bevidui rishon de la amr ubnei aron am kadeshecha." Why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he does not say ubnei aron am kadeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings up Raisa that was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel to answer the question. Midas din no senes. Logic dictates mutav yavo zachay v'yechaper al chayv, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one, v'yavo chayv v'yechaper al chayv, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, "B'chol yom kohanim olim b'mizrach shel kevesh v'yordim b'maravo." Every day kohanim ascend the mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on its western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and it would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, "Mayom kohen gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa." But today, the kohen gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the kohen gadol ascends the mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates Hashem's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Mem Gimel. Our standard simmon is a magazine. So here goes. The woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Once again, in slow motion. The woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechaper magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp, which reminds us that Ulok continues expanding the psukim about the Parduma. The pasuk states, Va'asav ish tahor es efar par v'niach, and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish l'hakshir sa zar. The specification of man comes to qualify as zar for this procedure. Tahor l'hakshir sa isha. The specification of tahor comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there's no need to teach that a tamei may not gather the ashes. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be a Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, which reminds the Mishnah state the Kohen Gadol then comes to the bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say Ubnei Aaron Am Kodeshech, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings up Raisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Yishmael to answer the question. Midas Adinno Senes, logic dictates, Mutav Yavo Zakav Yechapar Al-Chai, better that an innocent one should come to gain Kapara for the guilty one, Va'al Yavo Chai Yechapar Al-Chai, rather than a guilty one should come to gain Kapara for the guilty one. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechapar magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Which reminds the next Mishnah says, every day Kohanim ascend the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on his western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the Mizbeach to turn towards the right at the top. If the Kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and that would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, V'hayom Kohen Gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa, but today the Kohen Gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the Kohen Gadol ascends the Mizbeach, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates the Kodesh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. So once again, the woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be a Mechaper magazine with a picture of the Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. All right, now it's time to go to our four blot back Chazorim. Daf Lamedtes. So the Simmer Daf Lamedtes is a letter or a mailman. So here goes. As the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, letter, mailman, that must be more on Daf Lamedtes. As the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, which reminds us it was taught in Yeshiva B'Bishmo, Aver mitamtemes libo shel adam, an aver obstructs the heart of a person, as it says in the pasuk, Vositamu behem mitmeisim bam. You should not contaminate yourselves through them, lest you become contaminated through them. Altukav mitmeisim elvin tamtem. Don't pronounce it, lest you become contaminated, but rather, lest you become obstructed. The Gemara also brings a drasha focusing on spiritual growth. It was taught in a brisa. The pasuk says, V'yizkadishtem v'yisim kadoshim, you shall sanctify yourselves and become holy. Adam mekadosh atzmo me'at mekadoshin oso harbe, melamat mekadoshin oso melamala, melamazem mekadoshin oso olam haba. So as the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, he pulled it out with his lucky right hand for the 40th year in a row. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that during the 40 years that Shimon and Tzedek served as Kohen Gadol, Hayagoro Olobiyamin, the lot inscribed for Hashem would always come up in his right hand, which was a good sign that Kohen Gadol found favor before Kodesh Baruch Hu. The brisa continues listing other positive signs that occurred during his tenure as Kohen Gadol. The strip of red wool would always whiten, the Nemer Ravi would always remain lit, the fire of the Merach would always burn strong on his own, and a bracha was sent on the omen, the Shtei Alechem, the Lechem upon him, and every Kohen Gadol received just a piece, a size of the kazayis, either was sated or even left some over. It was taught in another brisa that during the 4 years prior to the destruction of Bayis Sheni, the lot inscribed for Hashem never came up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, the strip of red wool never whitened, the Nemer Ravi never remained lit, and the doors of the Heichal would open on their own, which Rashi explains was a sign for the enemies of the Jewish people to come and destroy it. So, as the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, he pulled it out with his lucky right hand for the 40th year in a row, while the sweet fragrance of incense wafted in from 10 parsos away. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that 10 times the Kohen Gadol pronounces the name, referring to the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Yom Kippur. 3 times in the first vidui, 3 times in the second vidui, 3 times over the Seir HaZazel, and 1 time with the lots. And it happened during the time when miracles occurred in the Beis HaMikdash that he said the name and his voice was heard in Yericho. And Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, from Yerushalayim until Yericho is a distance of 10 parsos, and the creaking of the hinge of the Heichon doors was heard, when they were open and closed, at a distance of 8 Chumash Shabbos. The goats from Yericho would sneeze from the fragrance of the Ketores, and the women Yericho didn't have to perfume themselves, nor did a bride in Yerushalayim have to perfume herself, because of the fragrance of the Ketores. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes. The pool race, that must mean we're on Daf Mem. The pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out, whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. Which reminds us, the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis introduced a machlokas whether drawing the lots in the two of Seirim is essential. Rabbi Yana said, Aliz Gor Matok Kalpi Ma'akevas, Hanache Eina Ma'akevas, the drawing of the lot from the Kalpi is essential for the Yom Kippur Avoda, but placing the lot on the appropriate goat isn't essential. Rabbi Yochanan said, Afalia Eina Ma'akevas, even drawing the lots is not essential. According to the second interpretation of the Machlokas, they disagree with respect to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that any avoda done in the Big Day Lavan outside the Kodesh Kodashim is not essential. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is obviously congruent with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yanai, who holds that the drawing of lots is essential, would say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not a contradiction to this, as the lacha is different with regard to drawing lots, because the words Asher Allah, which came up, is mentioned 2 times, indicating that it's essential. The Gemara attempts to bring a proof against Rabbi Yanai from a braisa that states, the Seir ein ma'akevus apar, if the avoda was done out of order, neglect a part of the avoda of the Seir does not invalidate the avoda of the par that was improperly done before it. The Gemara suggests that the avoda of the Seir that was not done in order was the drawing of lots, and yet the service is not invalidated. This would seem to prove that the drawing of lots is not essential. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that the time of the braisa was Rabbi Shimon, holds that drawing the lots are not essential. Alternatively, the Tana could be Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that although the drawing of lots in order is not essential, the basic drawing of lots is essential. So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, which reminds us, the Gemara tends to prove that all Tanaim agree that the lottery is not essential, but Mabrais, where Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim asked them what the din is if the lot for Hashem came up in the Kohen Gadol's left hand. Is he allowed to change it to his right hand, since that's an auspicious sign that the Jewish people will be forgiven? Rabbi Kiva answered, don't give the Tzedukim a basis to dominate. Rashi explains that Tzedukim will use this to support their claim that the Chamim formulate the law according to their own whims. The Gemara suggests from this that if not for this concern, switching hands would be permissible, implying that drawing lots is not essential. If it were essential, the left-hand goat would be determined to be the one for Hashem. The Gemara rejects this proof by reinterpreting the Talmudim's question to be that in a case where the lottery came up in the left hand, would it be permissible to switch the lottery to the right hand and switch the left-hand goat to the right side? So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, the camp prankster put a sticker on him, officially designating him as Achatas. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a conclusive proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds the drawing of lots to be essential. It was stated in the Sifra that the Pasuk says in reference to the lots, Vasau chatas, and it shall make it, referring to the seer that the lot for Hashem fell upon, into a chatas. Hagora aseo chatas, ve'en Hashem aseo chatas. Only the lot makes the goat a chatas, but verbally designating the goat with the name chatas does not make the seer a chatas. Rashi explains that merely declaring the seer to be a chatas without the drawing of lots doesn't invest the seer with the status of a chatas. Since Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, anonymous prices in the Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, this proves conclusively that he holds that drawing lots is essential. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes.
The grandma. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who designated her 2 precious little birds when she bought them.
Which reminds, Rav Chisda said that king do not assume their respective designations of either Achatas and Ola except for the time the owner's taking them to be offerings or at the time the Kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse and the offerings become puzzle? If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the Chatas and the other one as the Ola. Rav Shim Rashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding Kinim, V'lakcha ba'asa, and he shall take, and the Kohen shall make. So we derive from here that Kinim become designated, O'ba'akichu O'ba'asiyah, either the owner is taking or at the Kohen is making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule to prove that the Kinim can be designated
in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said in the Rav Hoshea that a wealthy person who made the temple tummy and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga says in the Rav Hoshea that he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the Mishnah Gan that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos. This shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word, the Zos, teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression, Toras, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them, because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the Paraduma and one for the Sira HaMishtalech, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the Sira HaMishtalech requires the minimum shear, the Boy Chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rami Bar Chama objected, saying the Paraduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rami answered, saying that it's a Malchus Tanaim whether it requires weight, and Rabbi Yosef falls the view that it does not. Daf Membeis, so the Simmer Daf Membeis is a mobster. So here goes. The non-Cohen mobster, that must be one Daf Membeis. The non-Cohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the Paraduma, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction between two shechitas, that of the Paraduma and that of the part of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, where one of them is kosher done by Azar and the other is not, but he didn't know which one was valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the Paraduma is pasul if it's shechted by Azar, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes pasul, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the Psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds the Paraduma is kosher if the shechita is done by Azar, and answers that in the case of the Paraduma, the Pasuk states, V'shachut osal lefanav, and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to Elazar. So this implies Zar shochet v'lazer roa, that a zar shechts the Paraduma while Lazar watches. According to Rabu, who holds that Elazar was the one who shechted the Paraduma, the Pasuk means, shol yisir daito memena, that Elazar, who's the one shechting the Paraduma, shall not divert his attention from it. Rashi explains that he must constantly guard it from two and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the Pasuk. So the non-Cohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the par is now pasul because he's no more qualified than a woman. Which reminds the Gemara brings a support for Rav that a par duma shechted by Zar is pasul from a brisa which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the par duma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other avodas of the par duma. So this implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a Zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a Zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a Zar can. Abai answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the Shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that Pasuk identified Elazar for the Shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to Azar, we may say Elazar is specified and not Azar. So the non-Cohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the Par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman and that even his donkey can't walk out with the Paraduma. Which reminds us, Ula did an extensive examination of the Pesukim from the Parsha Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says, the Pasuk states, V'hotzi osa, he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches Shul Yotzi Acheres Ima, that he shall not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah Par, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people should not say they shechted the black one for the Avodah. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so the people shouldn't say they shechted the two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one, together with the first one, would constitute an accompanying different activity, which would invalidate the par shechita. Revi says this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa levada, he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakamu didn't learn this Rashi as Revi Shimon. It was Darsh time of the cry. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking out a donkey with the cow. According to the Tanakamu, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the Paraduma is not being taken out alone. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1, which of the when the Rebbe Kiva told his Talmudim that one should not switch from the left hand to the right hand so as not to give the Tzedukim strength in their position? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number 2, which Daf do we have Malchus, Rav, and Shmuel if a Zar cannot shecht a Paraduma or the part of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim that's on Daf Mem Beis. Good number three. Which Daf do we discuss whether a wealthy person can bring a poor person's offering that's on Daf Mem Aleph. Good number four. Which Daf do we learn that a Zara and woman are permitted to carry the ashes of the Paraduma outside to the Tahar place? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good number five. Which Daf do we learn about all the positive signs that occurred during the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol? That's on Daf Lamed Tes. Good number six. Which Daf do we discuss which strip of red wool requires a minimum shear? That's on Daf Mem Aleph. Good number seven. Which Daf do we learn that the Kohen Gadol does not mention Bnei Aharon in its first vidui because Mutav Yavu Zakai V'Yechaper Al-Chayv? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number eight. Which of the one that Rav Chisda said, Kinim are either designated at the time of taking or the time of being offered? That's on Daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number nine. Which Daf is it that we learned that the word Ana, please, is included in the Vidui? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number ten. Which of the one that the Parduma does not want to go out, one is not permitted to take a second cow with it, and it's Malchokas if a donkey may accompany it? That's on Daf Membeis. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which Daf do we discuss visiting the sick on Shabbos? That's on Daf Yud Beis and Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which Daf do we learn off Tiftach Pele Satan? That's on Daf Yud Tes and Brachos. Good. And number three. Which Daf do we learn that the source that the Tchum is 2,000 Amos? That's on Daf Nun Aleph and Erev. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.